light of guidance, the 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 light of guidance.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله The Prophet of mankind, the peace of our hearts and mind, the most generous and kind, Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is very beautifully reported to have said, the one who recites durood, salutations, salawat, salam 50 times upon me daily, subhanallah, I will shake hands with him on the day of judgment. Subhanallah, sallu al habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, salatu wa salaman alayka ya sayyidi ya habibi ya rasulallah, sallallahu ala Muhammad, nurim min nurillah. Marhaba, khush amdeed, welcome to one and all to another wonderful, exciting and lovely episode of this wonderful series known as The Light of Guidance. Alhamdulillah, you are watching Madani Channel English, and we make dua, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect one and all over the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep everyone happy, keep everyone in His divine protection. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant everyone abundance of barakah, abundance of happiness. Ameen, ameen, ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen, subhanallah. Alhamdulillah, as you all know, this wonderful series on Madani Channel known as The Light of Guidance refers to the beautiful religion of Islam. Undoubtedly, Islam is the light of guidance for the one who follows the religion of Islam. He follows the teachings, the practices of Islam, and he instills those teachings in his heart, in his life, in his lifestyle, in his day-to-day routine. Then subhanAllah, you see that person, he is on the straight path, on Sirat-e-Mustaqim, and he has attained the light of guidance. On the other hand, on the contrary, the person who turns away from this deen, the person who turns away from the teachings of Allah and His beloved and most noble Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then unfortunately he has missed this light of guidance, and then he is on the path of misguidance. Allah, Allah, we make dua. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us firm on the straight path, the path of guidance, the light of guidance. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us death in the beautiful city of Madinatul Munawwara. Ameen, 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 with our parents, with our Murshid Kareem. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that we leave this world in the state of Iman, inshallah, azza wa jal. And by Allah, once we leave this world in the state of Iman, then you are successful. Because, you know, today it's easy. Every person is a Muslim. Every person claims to be a mu'min, a believer. But nobody knows that, are we going to leave this world in the state of Iman? As we see in the summary of the various ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that, you know, there will come a time where people will be Muslim in the morning and kafir in the evening. And some people will be Muslim in the evening and the next morning they will be kafir. Means they will be disbelievers. So in other words, you know, that indication was given to us that it will be so difficult to remain firm on your iman, on your belief. And we have also come across narrations where close to the time of Qiyamah, holding onto your iman, remaining firm on your iman, remaining steadfast on your iman will be more difficult than holding hot coal in your hand. Allah, 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 Allah. When a person thinks about all of, you know, these things, then we start having these goosebumps, our hair starts standing, and we start thinking that we need to always make dua in the exalted court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make it such that we leave this world in the state of Iman. Ameen, ameen, ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen, subhanallah. Alhamdulillah. Our beautiful episode, our beautiful silsila, and just today and just now I was discussing regarding Iman. So today, inshallah, I want to discuss a topic, you know, that if we act upon these things, then inshallah, azawajal, we will safeguard our Iman. And if we do not act upon whatever is learnt and taught today, then it will be very difficult for us to keep our Iman intact. But before we discuss that, let's all make good intentions. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, Niyatul mu'mini, the intention of a believer is better than his action. The more good intentions you make, the more reward you will attain from the exalted court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's make good intentions, inshallah. Whatever I learn now, I will first and foremost try and act upon it. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, when I hear the name of Allah, I will glorify and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When I hear the beloved name of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I will recite durood, salutations, salawat and salam upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And inshallah Azza wa Jal, I will try and act upon whatever we have learned. I will try and act upon it myself. And then inshallah Azza wa Jal, I will pass the message on to others as well. Because each person is a muballigh, a preacher on behalf of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has beautifully mentioned, ballighu anni walau ayah. Convey, pass on my behalf, even if it is a single ayah. Subhanallah. So my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given this responsibility to one and all, that it is your duty as a Muslim, it is, I would say, you know, necessity upon you that you need to pass the message of Allah and His beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in whatever way possible, you need to make sure you are preaching to your fellow Muslims. Alhamdulillah. And unfortunately, many of us do not have knowledge ourselves. And because we do not have the knowledge, then many of us are shy or we hesitate or we don't want to, you know, discuss any deeny thing with anyone because we don't know it ourselves. And because of that, al-a'udhu billah, we turn away from the teachings of the deen. We don't want to go by people who speak about the deen. We don't want to be in the company of ulama. We don't want to be in the company of religious people, of deeny people. Why? Because we don't know anything about the deen and we feel that we are left out. Yes, somebody is talking about sports, somebody is talking about films or cinema or this or that, whatever the case is, or something happening in the world, then yes, we want to be part of that conversation. We want to discuss, we want to make sure we are there, we want to put our presence. But come to any deeni mehfil, first of all, we'll be right at the back, and as quickly as possible, we'll try a way to move away. So this is a big, you know, problem, and we need to ask ourselves that, am I amongst those people who are doing this? Whenever there's a deeny discussion taking place, I want to move away, I want to turn away, then why? Is it because of this reason that, you know, you are hesitant, you have the feeling that you don't know anything about the deen? Then by Allah, what you are doing is wrong. Then you need to rectify yourself. You must start learning about the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Show your interest. Not every person is an alim, not every person is a mufti, not every person is a scholar. Yes, many of the people do not have knowledge, some people have knowledge, but those that don't have knowledge, if they don't want to learn, then how will they ever gain the knowledge in their life? As-su'alu miftahul ilm. Questioning, asking a question, posing a question is the key to knowledge. If you do not know something, then ask. If you do not know something, sit with Mullah Sahib. If you do not know something, sit in the gathering of ulama-i-kiram. Slowly, slowly, inshallah, your knowledge will start increasing. You know, in English, we say that you are never too old to learn. So, this is something which we need to think about. That there is no age for learning ilm-e-deen. Whether you are 5 years old, 6 years old, you're a teenager, you're a young adult, you're an elderly person, whatever the case is, every moment in your life, you will be learning something and you need to learn something. I mean, I have met people who are 50, 60 and 60 years old and they have grandchildren, and the grandchildren also, mashallah, you know, well-to-do and they have some understanding. And those people come and say, you know, Mullah Sahib, for so many years we have been performing salah not correctly. We have been performing wudu incorrectly. We have, you know, done so and so action. We didn't know how to do it. Nobody taught us. We were in madrasa. We just learned this. And from that time, we acted upon it. We didn't even make the effort to go and learn about the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the answer to all of those people is, whose fault is it? It's not Mulana Sahib's fault. Mulana Sahib didn't have to go to each one's house and say, listen, do you know your namaz? Do you know how to read the Quran? Do you know everything? No, it was your duty to go towards the ulama. It was your duty to go towards the people of the deen. It was your duty to ask. So only when you have this enthusiasm to learn ilm-e-deen, slowly, slowly, inshallah, your knowledge will start increasing. Once knowledge starts increasing, you will love staying in the company of those that have knowledge. And then inshallah, you will be able to act upon this hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that convey on my behalf, even if it is a single ayah. Because then that hesitation will not be there. That afraidness which you have in you, that shyness which you have will not be there any longer. Because now you know that yes, what you are preaching, you have heard it from somebody, you have learned it from somewhere authentic. You know about it, that's why you are passing the message on. The reason why we don't pass the message on is because we do not have the knowledge. So this is the first step which everyone needs to rectify himself about. That in order for us to pass the message on to others, we need to first have the knowledge of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ourselves, then only can we pass the message forward. And number two, another issue why people do not want to pass the message on is that, you know, maybe people are afraid. If I tell him, he'll make fun of me. I tell him to perform salah, he'll start joking and start mocking. You know, why are you becoming mulana? Why are you becoming so pious? And unfortunately, that's how our time is in today's time. That we are shy to encourage others to do good deeds. If you see someone wearing a jubbah and a topi, we'll start criticizing, we'll start laughing. What, are you becoming pious now? It's not your age to do this. And if the person is young, then there's more criticism on him. There's more, you know, all the eyes are on him at that moment. Why? Because apparently in today's time, if you are young, you have to be cool. You can't be religious, you can't wear jubbah, you can't wear topi, you can't wear Imam Sharif. So these are all the thinkings, the mindsets which needs to be changed in today's time. Why are you shy to act upon the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why are you shy to preach the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why are you shy to teach people about Allah and his beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? There is nothing wrong. You are speaking haq, you are teaching haq, you are practicing haq. Then what are you hesitating for? So everyone should make an intention, inshallah, azawajal. Two intentions. That from today, inshallah, I will try and gain Islamic knowledge. So that I can also pass the knowledge on to others as well. I'm not going to be stingy with it. I'm not going to learn everything and keep it here and let it remain there. No. Whatever you learn, you need to pass to others as well. This is not your the wealth of your world, that if you keep it, then only it's fine. If you give it to somebody, it's going to get less. No. This is knowledge. The more you impart, the more you give to people, the more Allah Ta'ala will bless you with the more knowledge you will receive from others as well. From your elders, from your pious predecessors and everyone else. Alright, so the first intention everyone must make is that inshallah azza wa jal, I will try and have that enthusiasm, that jazbah, that shock, that motivation of learning about the deen of Allah so I can pass the message on to others as well. And number two, the second intention which I want everyone to make is inshallah, after I pass the message on to others as well, and if there is an opportunity where I can pass the message on but I am not passing it for whatever reason, you know, as the reasons I mentioned now, whatever the case is, inshallah azawajal, I will try and pass the message on. I will not be afraid to pass the teachings of Allah and his beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If everyone has this intention, now how beautiful the environment will be. That the next person is correcting you, you will not feel bad because you're correcting somebody else and you know why he's correcting you, you know why he's teaching you, you know why he's telling you. When somebody is telling you, you're accepting it, you're telling somebody else, he's accepting it. How beautiful the environment is. Everyone is learning, teaching. It's becoming like a school basically, but in your entire environment. Everyone is a teacher, everyone is a student. Because believe me, you will find young people teaching elderly people. You will find elderly people learning from young people, elderly people teaching young people as well. So both sides, both can learn, both can teach. There is no, you know, age restriction. Not only if you're this age, then you can tell somebody about Islam. Only if you're this age, then you can listen to somebody. No. There is no age restriction in Islam. So how beautiful the environment will be. Start in your house. Sister must tell the brother, you know, this is what I learned about Islam. Mother must tell the father. Father must tell children. Children must tell the mother. You know, make that environment, make the environment at home. Make it a lovely environment when you're sitting at the table. Let's read the dua before eating. Who knows the dua before eating? And this one will say it, or your daughter, your son, your wife, whatever it is, they will read the dua. And after you eat, while you're eating, let's discuss about Islam, discuss about Sahaba Ikram, discuss about the Ahlul Bayt, discuss about the history of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, discuss about the awsaf, the qualities of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the beloved parents of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, discuss about the awliya ikram, discuss good things on the table. You will see the barakat inshallah. After you discuss, everyone make dua. After you eat, everyone makes dua collectively. You know, mention one hadith, mention one narration. Maybe the father or the mother, whoever it is, they can prepare something before they eat. After they eat, share a small hadith because everyone is there at the table. How beautiful the environment will be. Subhanallah. So this is, you know, this, if everyone can have a mindset, then inshallah we will try this at home. We can try everything. We will get the most expensive games for our children. We'll get the most expensive clothing, shoes, toys, whatever the case is. And that we want for our children, yes. And if we want something must happen, our children must do it. If I want my son must go and cut his hair, he will go and cut his hair. I want my son must wear this t-shirt, he will wear his t-shirt. But for dini things, the first excuse we have, the children don't listen to me. So I said, for other things, you make sure the children listens to you. whether you'll say, I'll give you a sweet, or I'll give you chocolate, I'll give you toys, I'll give you this, or whether you shout him and make him listen, there you have your method of making him listen to you. But for Islamic things, then no, Munasab, you know, he doesn't listen. You know how the children are today, and the person will laugh and he'll carry on. I say, why is there so much leniency towards Islam? Is Islam not important? Is your aqidah not important? Is your belief not important? Is the teachings of Allah and His beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam not important? Yes, if they are important, in fact, they are more important than all of your worldly things. So if they are important, then it is your duty to make sure that you are teaching them towards your children. You are making your children, you know, you are strict towards your children in regards to the matters of Allah and His beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So this was, you know, a short preface. It just came out because of the few words I mentioned of the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And this also shows the excellence of the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That sometimes my beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will mention a few words, 1, 2, 3 words. Apparently it looks like it's something very short. But if we go and explain it, we'll end up having lectures and discourses and series, subhanAllah, just to explain some beautiful words of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This shows how eloquent my beloved Nabi was, how fasih, how baligh, you know, how excellent his speaking was, how excellent his words were, how excellent my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was. SubhanAllah, very beautifully, you know, Ala Hazrat, he praises the kalam of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. And he says, Minisar tere kalam par miliyu to kisko zubaan nahi, wo sukhan hai jisme sukhan na ho, wo bayaan hai jiska bayaan nahi. SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. Alhamdulillah. So this is indeed the beautiful words of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And in Arabic we say, Khairul kalami ma qalla wa dalla. The best kalam, the best speech, the best words is that which is little, but it's full of detail, huh? And it has lots of explanation. SubhanAllah. And this we indeed find in the beautiful words of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Sallu ala al-Habib, Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Coming towards our topic for today and the beautiful discussion which we will be having today, inshallah azza wa jal, is something which needs to be discussed. As I mentioned earlier, that if we focus on today's topic, then inshallah azza wa jal, we will find a way to protect and save our iman. On the contrary, if we do not focus on today's discussion, then we won't, you know, eventually there will come a time, if we do not do what is mentioned today, there will come a time where it will be very difficult for us to keep our iman intact. And in today's time, the fitna is spreading a lot, where you will find many people, you know, accusing, insulting, and saying bad words regarding the honorable and the esteemed Sahaba-i Kiram of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So inshallah, today we will be discussing the martaba, the rank of a sahabi, and the beautiful ahadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with regards to the beautiful sahaba-i kiram, their actions, the way, you know, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us what is their maqam, what is their status. Inshallah, we will be discussing this in today's beautiful episode. First of all, to begin with, who is a sahabi? Sahabi is that person who had the sohbat. Sohbat means the companionship, the company of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with Iman. And then he left this world in the state of Iman. Even if it is just for a second, a split second. But that person will then be called a Sahabi. SubhanAllah. Yes, some people say that the person who saw Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the state of Iman, and you know, he stayed with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or he saw Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the state of Iman and he left this world, then you will get many blind Sahaba Ikram as well, like Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umm Maktum radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was a blind Sahabi. He never get a chance to see Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam physically with his physical eyes, but he is also counted as a Sahabi. So the easiest terminology and definition of Sahabi will be that person who attained the sohbat, the companionship, the company of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He will be classified as a Sahabi, a Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. SubhanAllah. So now, what's the martaba and the rank of a Sahabi? Once a person becomes a Sahabi, then how high is he? What is his status? What is his maqam? SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. You get Ghaus, Kutub, Abdal, Qalandar, Wali, you know, Mashayikh, great, great Peer, great, great Murshid, and great personalities until Qiyamah. You may get some people who will spend the entire life in Ibadat. So on one hand, you have these great personalities. Then you have the ibadat, you have the namaz, the roza, the zakat, the hajj, and so many things, so many good deeds. On the other hand, you have that person who came in the company of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, accepted Islam. He didn't perform salah, didn't pay zakat, didn't give sadaqah, didn't perform hajj. Accepted Islam, became a sahabi now. Few minutes later, he went for jihad. He fought in the path of Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala, and there he was martyred. So apparently there is no good deeds in his book of deeds, because he just accepted Islam now, became a sahabi, he went for jihad and he was martyred. But his rank, his martaba, his status became higher, became more exalted, became much higher than all those people, all the ghaws, kutub, abdal, wali, qalandar, whatever it is, until qiyamah. All of them, with all the ibadat, they can never reach the maqam and the station of the dust which is under the beautiful sandals which kiss the feet of the sahabi of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That's how high the rank of a sahabi becomes. Apparently there's nothing in his book of deeds, but because he is a sahabi, his rank becomes great, and nobody, no matter whatever you do, you can never reach the level of a sahabi. Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, Allah. So inshallah we'll be discussing more regarding the Sahaba-i-Kiram, the excellence of the Sahaba-i-Kiram, the virtues of the Sahaba-i-Kiram. But inshallah we'll take a short break now, listen to a beautiful kalam, and as soon as we return, inshallah, we will then carry on our excellent discussion. Please remain with us, stay with us, inshallah. You will be learning a lot in today's beautiful episode and beautiful silsila. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Na koi aap jaisa tha, na koi aap jaisa hai. Koi Yusuf se poochhe Mustafa ka husn kaisa hai. Ae jalwa-e jaanana. Jalwa-e janana, aqa tu sham-e risalat hai, alam tera parwana, tu maah-e nubuwat hai, ae jalwa-e janana. Kausar ke chehre se niqab uthe jo saqi e kausar ke chehre se niqab uthe har dil ban main khana har aankh ho paimana چھوٹے نہ الہی اب یا سنگ در جانا نا آقا تو شمع رسالت ہے عالم تیرا پروانا جلوائے جانا نا اے جلوائے جانا نا پیتے ہیں تیرے در کا کھاتے ہیں تیرے در کا پیتے ہیں تیرے در کا کھاتے ہیں تیرے در کا پانی ہے تیرا پانی دانا ہے تیرا دانا پانی ہے تیرا پانی ہاں پانی دانا ہے تیرا دانا آقا تو شمع رسالت ہے عالم تیرا پروانا تو ماہ نبوت ہے اے جلوہ جانانا ہر پھول میں بو تیری ہر شمع میں ذو تیری ہر پھول میں بو تیری ہر شمع میں ذو تیری بلبل ہے تیرا بلبل پروانہ ہے پروانہ بلبل ہے تیرا بلبل ہاں بلبل پروانہ ہے پروانہ آقا تو شمع رسالت ہے عالم تیرا پروانہ جلوائے جانا نا اے جلوائے جانا نا وہ کہتے نہ کہتے کچھ وہ کرتے نہ کرتے کچھ وہ کہتے نہ کہتے کچھ وہ کرتے نہ کرتے کچھ اے کاش وہ سن لیتے مجھ سے میرا افسانہ اے کاش وہ سن لیتے مجھ سے میرا افسانہ آقا تو شمع رسالت ہے عالم تیرا پروانہ تو ماہ نبوت ہے اے جلوہ جانانا سرکار کے جلووں سے روشن ہے دل نوری سرکار کے جلووں سے روشن ہے دل نوری تا حشر رہے روشن کاشانا تا حشر رہے روشن تنہا روشن نوری کا یہ کاشانہ آقا تو شمع رسالت ہے عالم تیرا پروانہ جانانا اے جلوائے جانانا.
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وسلم صلاۃ و سلام علیک یا سیدی یا حبیبی یا رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علی محمد نور من نور اللہ. ماشاءاللہ, ویلکم بیک, الحمدللہ. And yes, we were discussing this exciting topic regarding the Sahaba Kiram, the great companions of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So a question comes to mind, you know, that how did these Sahaba Kiram gain this high status, high maqam and high rank? They didn't perform salah, they didn't give zakah, they didn't, you know, perform hajj, umrah, whatever the case is. Anyone, as I gave the example, yes, many Sahaba Ikram did perform, you know, lots of good deeds, lots of ibadat, whatever. I'm speaking about just that Sahabi who accepted Islam, now left this world and nothing he performed, but still his rank is so high. So what's the reason? So we look in the beautiful books, in the Quran, in the hadith, and we gathered everything. The answer comes is that this Sahabi of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has such a quality which nobody has until Qiyamah. And what is that quality? It's not the namaz, the roza, the zakat, the hajj. No, the quality which they have is that they had the sohbat, the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That company of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them the rank that they became the most highest in the entire creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after the Anbiya and the Mursaleen. Subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. So this is the reason why the Sahaba Ikram became so great, and it leaves a person to wonder and think and ponder that if just having the sohbat of my Nabi can make a person so great that he becomes more exalted than all the, you know, awliya, aqtab, wali, ghaus, whatever the case is, then what can you say about the Mubarak feet and the Mubarak sandals of my beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What can you say about the Zaat of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Allah, 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 tera misl nahi hai, khuda ki qasam. By Allah, there is no similarity at all. There is no example of my beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How unique, how special, how wonderful, how beautiful, how excellent he is. My beloved Nabi is only one and he is unique. Allah Ta'ala has made him unique in every aspect, in every quality, in every etiquette, in every manner. Subhanallah, subhanallah, alhamdulillah. So this is how high the rank of the Sahabi has become. And very beautiful narrations of ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to the beautiful Sahaba Ikram. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, and this is mentioned in Mishkat Sharif, that ashabi kan nujum bi'ayyihi muqtadaytum ihtadaytum. In some narrations, fabi'ayyihi muqtadaytum ihtadaytum. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, my companions are like stars. Whichever one you follow, you will be guided. You shall gain guidance. Subhanallah. Whichever sahabi you follow, my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not exclude some personalities that, you know, this sahabi is like a star, this sahabi is like a star, don't follow him, don't follow him. No, no, no. He kept it mutlaq and general and unconditional that all of my sahaba ikram are like the stars. Yes, whichever one you follow, you will be on the straight path, you will be guided, you are on sirat mustaqim. Subhanallah. And another beautiful hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that مَثَلُ أَهْلِ بَيْتِ فِيكُمْ كَمَثَلِ سَفِينَةِ نُوحٍ مَنْ رَكِبَهَا نَجَى وَمَنْ تَخَلَّفَ عَنْهَا غَرَقَ. Some narrations, وَمَنْ تَخَلَّفَ عَنْهَا هَلَكَ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. The summary of which I'm mentioning, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that my Ahl Bayt, the example of my Ahl Bayt is like that of the Ark of Nuh alayhi salam. Whoever boarded the ark, whoever went on the ark, he has been successful, he is successful. He has gained salvation. And the one who turned away from it, the one who did not board the ark, he has drowned, he is destroyed. Allah, 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 Allah. So now, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave two beautiful examples. Huh? Sahabi like the star, Sahaba Ikram like the stars, and Ahl-e-Bayt like the ark. So what's the similarity? What's the nisbat? And every word of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has millions and millions of wisdom behind it. But by Allah, we cannot understand the wisdom. So some points we start gathering and we start thinking that why did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam give these two similarities? The star, the ark, what's the correspondence? SubhanAllah, and one beautiful, you know, reason we found, you know, our understanding is incomplete, our intellect is incomplete. We cannot reach that level where we can understand the beautiful words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam completely. But by Allah, whatever little we get through his sadaqah, through his wasila, we try and explain that to everyone else. And the beautiful explanation ulama ikram have given is that in the olden days, when people had to travel from one place to another place, then obviously there weren't any cars, any aeroplanes, any bus, you know, any helicopters or whatever the case is, motorbikes and that. People used to travel on animals. Animals were the mode of transport, like camels, you know, horse, mules, donkeys, whatever the case is. And if people had to go overseas, you know, far away, then they would use ship, they would use boats, they would use these kind of things, alhamdulillah. So in those days, if somebody had to travel overseas, he need to have a ship, first of all. The second thing, there was no navigations in those times. There were no GPS systems. There was no, social media or cell phones or tablets with which we can put our address, our location, and we can just follow it. No. In those days, people had to look at the stars. And with the stars, with the help of the stars, they would then know where we are going. This is also an art, a science to learn how to understand the stars, which side is which star, how to know where is north, east, south, west. It's not everyone's cup of tea, but they were experts in this field. So in order for a person to reach guidance, to reach to his destination from point A to point B, he needed two things. Number one was his ark, his ship, and number two were the stars. Somebody went and said, you know, listen, I don't need the stars. I have a nice boat. I can travel. I'll use my mind and I'll look around and I'll reach my place. Will he be able to reach his destination? No. Maybe he will think, no, this way I was supposed to go. He'll end up going, instead of north, he'll go east. Instead of east, he'll go south. Instead of south, he'll go west. And he'll be moving around all in circles. So he won't be able to reach his destination. There'll come a time where maybe he'll be stuck. And if a storm comes, then it's double the problem, because then his ship will spin and he won't know where he is in the middle of the ocean stuck. So a person will be messed up. On the other hand, somebody says, listen, I don't need a ship. I'm a good athlete. I'm a good swimmer. I'm very strong. I can swim for hours and hours. I'll just follow the stars. I'll reach my destination. So yes, from point A to point B, if he wants to go, he'll start point A. How long will he swim? 1 kilometer, 2 kilometers, 10 kilometers, 15, 20, whatever the case is. No matter how strong he is, there will come a time where he'll be tired. There'll come a time maybe he'll drown. There'll come a time maybe the fish in the sea, in the ocean, the sharks, whatever the case is, will eat him, will finish him. So, in order for you to reach your destination, you needed two things most importantly, your ship and the stars. If any one of these things are not by you, then you won't be able to reach your destination. SubhanAllah, from the beautiful words of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we gained this beautiful bouquet of beautiful Madani pools and Madani flowers, that if you want to reach guidance, if you want to attain guidance, if you want to remain on path of guidance, on the light of guidance, then what you need to do is, you need to have the ship, you need to have the stars. Means in other words, you need to hold on to the ship, which is the Ahl Bayt of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and you need to follow the stars, which are the Sahaba Ikram of my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Somebody says, I will just look at the stars, I'll leave the ship, I'll just follow Sahaba Ikram, I'll leave the Ahl Bayt. That person will be misguided. Somebody says, I'll only hold on Ahl Bayt, I'll only have the ship, I don't need the stars, I don't need Sahaba Ikram. That person is also misguided. To reach the straight path, you need to have the Ahl Bayt and you need to have the Sahaba Ikram as well. SubhanAllah, this is the words of my beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the summary of which I have put in front of you, and translating everything, put everything in a nutshell. Ala Hazrat Imam Ahlus Sunnah very beautifully says, Ahlus Sunnat ka hai beera paar ashabi huzoor. SubhanAllah, Ahlus Sunnat ka hai beera paar ashabi huzoor najm hai. Or now hai itrat Rasulullah ki. Allah, he says, Ahlul Sunnah are successful. Yes, the ship has crossed the ocean. Why? Because they are on the ship of the Ahlul Bayt Yathar, and they are following the stars, the shining stars, the lights of guidance, which are the Sahaba Ikram. Alhamdulillah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So it is very important for us to, you know, respect, honor, and show the utmost respect towards the Sahaba Ikram, of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some beautiful ahadith I want to narrate to you with regards to the Sahaba ikram alayhim ar-ridwan. A very beautiful narration in Mishkat Sharif, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, Akrimu ashabi, that honor, respect my Sahaba ikram, fa innahum khiyarukum, for they are the best amongst you. Another beautiful hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لا تسبوا أصحابي, do not insult, do not swear my Sahaba ikram, فَلَوْ أَنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ أَنْفَقَ مِثْلَ أُحُدٍ ذَهَبًا مَا بَلَغَ مُدَّ أَحَدِهِمْ وَلَا نَصِيفَهُ. Allah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, for indeed if any one of you spends gold in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala equivalent to Mount Uhud, Allah, for those that have been to the beautiful cities of Makkah al-Mukarramah and Madinah al-Munawwarah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take you again, over and over again, what your peer or murshid, what your murshid al-kareem, your parents, and those that haven't been there, make dua, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take everyone, what their peer or murshid, what their parents, in the beautiful court of His beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with your family members, inshallah, azza wa jal. Ameen, ameen, ya Allah. Call us all to your beautiful city, ya Allah. Let us have the didar of the Holy Kaaba, ya Rasulullah. Call us to your beautiful Rozae Mubarak. Ameen, 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 ya Rabbal Alameen. Alhamdulillah. So those that have been there, you must have seen that Mount Uhud is kilometers, kilometers, kilometers long. A very massive mountain. What my Nabi says, if any one of you spends gold in the path of Allah, how much gold? Equivalent to Mount Uhud. That much gold you spent. Allah, Allah. My Nabi says, مَا بَلَغَ مُدَّ أَحَدِهِمْ وَلَا نَصِيفَهُ. In other words, the summary of which means that it will never reach a firstful of something which my Sahabi spends in the path of Allah. وَلَا نَصِيفَهُ, even half a firstful of something which my Sahabi gives in the path of Allah. That entire mountain of gold is not equivalent to that half firstful of the Sahabi of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, Allah. So your actions are nowhere close to each other. They give something, even if it's wheat, half firstful, even less than that in the path of Allah. You can give the entire gold in the world, but still it will not be equivalent to what they have given in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. So this is the martaba, the shan, and the status of the Sahaba ikram of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another beautiful hadith, it is mentioned in Tirmizi Sharif. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, Allah, Allah fi ashabi, that fear Allah in regards to my companions, in regards to my Sahaba ikram. لا تتخذوهم غرضا بعدي, do not make them targets. Means of your insults, of your bad words, whatever the case is. Do not make them targets of criticism after me. Why? فمن أحبهم فبحبي حبهم. My Nabi ﷺ mentions, the one who loves them, it is out of my love that he loves them. وَمَنْ أَبْغَضَهُمْ فَبِبُغْضِي أَبْغَضَهُمْ, and the one who hates them, who has enmity or detests them, it is out of my hatred that he hates them. Because he hates me, that's why he hates them. Allah, Allah. وَمَنْ آذَاهُمْ فَقَدْ آذَانِي, and the one who has offended them has offended me. وَمَنْ آذَانِي فَقَدْ آذَى اللَّهُ, and whoever has offended me has offended Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ آذَى اللَّهُ يُوشِكُ أَنْ يَأْخُذَهُ, and whoever offended Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is near that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall seize him. Allah, Allah, Allah. So the clear words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is present in front of us. The hukum has been given that no matter whatever happens, you can't open your mouth in front of the Sahaba ikram. You can't open your mouth with regards to the Sahaba ikram. Your duty is just to honor them, respect them, say good things about them, praise them. And anything else, you cannot discuss them. You can't discuss the matters of Sahaba ikram. You can't discuss what happened amongst the Sahaba ikram. You can't discuss, you know, of the maybe the small minor clashes amongst the Sahaba ikram. Whatever the case was, you cannot discuss about it. Whatever happened, happened. It was between the Sahaba ikram. Allah Ta'ala is pleased with them. The beloved Rasul is pleased with them. They are categorical jannatis. They are definite jannatis. They are going in Jannah. They are in Jannah. But you do not know about yourself. You do not know that now you are with Iman. If the next moment you are going to be in the state of Iman, if tomorrow you will be in the state of Iman, you don't even know if you're going to leave this world in the state of Iman. As I mentioned earlier, you don't even know where you are going to be, in Jannat or in Jahannam, what's going to be your state. But you want to speak about these great personalities? So as Muslims, as mu'mineen, our duty is to always put a zip on our tongue and not mention anything bad about the Sahaba Ikram or the Ahl Bayt Athar, Ridwanullahi Ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. Our duty is sami'ana wa ata'ana. We hear the command of Allah, His beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Ahl Bayt Athar, the Sahaba Ikram, and we obey them, alhamdulillah, and we don't have any objection, any ikhtilaf, any conflict, or any bad words. Neither will we use them, nor will we listen to anything about these personalities. This is such a discussion which needs, you know, hours and hours we can speak about it. But this is just a brief summary of everything. And in today's time, we need to also keep an eye on our youngsters, our children. Unfortunately, today we have the social media, everything is there. You know, every person will come, somebody insults Sahaba Ikram, swears Sahaba Ikram, he's also coming. Our youngsters, our children are listening to him. And then they have those objections, their mind has been infiltrated with all filthy things, and they'll come to the parents and say, you know, but this happened, but that happened, and with thousands of objections and problems, they will come. And as mu'mineen, we need to control our children, we need to control our youngsters, and make sure that they are listening to only ulama of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. They are only reading the books of ulama Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. They are only in the company of ulama Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. They are only performing salah behind ulama of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And then inshallah azawajal, you will see the iman will be intact, they will be safe, and they will be protected from all sorts of fitnas, inshallah azawajal. With these few words, we come to the end of today's beautiful silsila and episode. And we make dua, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable all of us to act upon whatever we have discussed. May Allah keep us in the saya, in the shadow, and as the ghulams of the Ahl Bayt Athar and the Sahaba Ikram. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant everyone abundance of goodness, abundance of happiness. Remember, instill the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in your hearts, in your mind. This love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the base of your iman, the base of everything. You have this love. By Allah, you have everything. You lose this love. By Allah, you lose everything. We hope to see you soon, inshallah, in the next beautiful episode of The Light of Guidance. Till then, be happy, be positive, think positive, stay positive, remain positive. Till we meet again, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
The Light of Guidance, 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 The Light of Guidance.